The following is a presentation of the Boston Podcast Network. Podcasting is a great way for professionals to tell their story. Find out how you can get started at pod617.com.
Are you ready? It's showtime!
From the Pod 617 studios in Westwood, Massachusetts, it's the Boston Podcast with David Yaz and a rotating cast of characters from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
This is our f***ing city.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all the ships at sea, lovers, muggers, and thieves. Welcome to the Boston Podcast. My name is Dave. If you like our show, please follow us on Apple Podcasts and share the show with someone else. I mean, what the heck? Spread the love, people. It'll be your good deed for the day. And if you want your own podcast, you can go to pod617.com to get started. It's the Boston Podcast Network. It's what we do here in our Westwood, Mass studios or anywhere around the globe by the use of, you know, the internet and stuff. And we'll send you out a quality USB mic to get started. Pod617.com. Anyway, enough of that. Great guest here. He's been a guest on the podcast before, and I guess he passed the audition. Please welcome to the show Paul Medeiros. He is the CEO of Easter Seals Massachusetts and an all-around swell guy. Welcome back, my friend.
Thanks for having me back.
I'm a little insulted because since you've been here, I replaced the carpets and you didn't comment on them. Actually, I do need to vacuum a little bit now that I look around. But how does the studio look?
It looks amazing. Okay. I did notice you moved the furniture around. And
yes, I switched things. I just like to keep people on their toes and explore the podcast feng shui, as it were. So I just realized you have been CEO of Easter Seals Mass since 2016.
Is that 2015? The end of the year. So
okay. Yeah. So by my count, that's almost 9 years, 8 years, 9 years, whatever.
Yeah.
Sheesh. You do have a few more gray hairs, although you still look dynamite. Don't get me wrong. Before we talk, we have some new initiatives to talk about at Easter Seals, which are exciting. And if you don't know, Easter Seals is a tremendous nonprofit organization that helps people with disabilities in a variety of ways. And you're going to hear about this new summer camp that they have and some other stuff as well. But just looking back, like, what has the ride been so far? Has it been what you expected?
Oh, no. We had a pandemic.
Yeah. That's coming back to me. Somebody mentioned the other day, it's been almost 5 years since the very start of the pandemic. That can't be right. 4 years, whatever. But man, so how was that? Yeah. How was that?
No, that's what makes it funny when you say almost 9 years. It's a weird time. It feels like 20 years and it feels like 2 years all at the same time.
Right.
And no, it was a wild ride for sure. Especially being a service organization. We're serving people in the community, in their homes, in their schools. And obviously we couldn't do that during the pandemic because Easter Seals already has a very strong assistive technology base. We were probably better positioned to switch to online work than some organizations. Mm-hmm. But with that said, I think a lot of our work is much more effective in person. But, you know, we have the flexibility to do whatever's needed.
So, I mean, were you able to do like 25, 50% of what you used to do in person online or something like that? Or
yeah, it really depended on the program. Right. We were doing therapy online, assistive technology online. We moved our recreational programs like martial arts and our youth leadership network all got moved online. So some were impacted more than others. If you're doing physical therapy, you can't physically stretch someone online.
Right. Well, I was going to say, if I were ever to do martial arts, I think maybe I should do it virtually because it would hurt less, but I've probably got it wrong.
Well, Thursday night, you can join us on our virtual martial arts, which continues.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Yeah. So I'm joking, but I guess there's a fair amount of you can do in teaching techniques, and a lot of it is not even contact, right? So it's like...
Right. I'm biased to the in-person classes, but we've gotten the feedback that a lot of our folks love to be able to do it from home, or they don't have transportation, which is a big problem. So they love that they can get involved, they can exercise, they can meet people and do the martial arts online. And then we can do it in person as well for those who want to come and maybe hit some pads or have some fun in person. But yeah, nobody's getting hurt in our class.
So there was some sort of permanent good that actually came out of the pandemic, because I asked people of this a lot and we don't realize it now. It really is, to use a tired phrase, like the new normal. And because it's normal to us, we don't realize. But I just kind of realized the other day that I don't go to nearly as many of the like networking breakfasts or things of that ilk, or like conferences, some of them, because a lot of them never came back, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think they're starting to come back a little. I was at one last night.
Oh, okay.
But the accessibility piece is huge. Like you said, the good that came out of it, a lot of city council meetings or even state hearings now are broadcast online. People can Zoom in. So someone who lives in Springfield who has a disability maybe can't make it to a 9 a.m. hearing in Boston very easily. Now they can actually Zoom in and give their testimony virtually. That's huge. I mean, that is a big thing. Or committees. It's hard to get parking in Boston sometimes for somebody who maybe lives outside the city. They need to park a van. Now they can attend those meetings virtually. It makes it a lot more inclusive.
For sure. For sure. So I want to talk about the Bridge Center, which is, I know you've been working on this for years and it became a reality. It's been a few years now.
About a year and a half.
A year and a half. Okay. Yeah. So tell us what that is, for starters, the Bridge Center.
Sure. So the Bridge Center is this amazing 22-acre campus in Bridgewater. It's been around for about 65 years. We had very similar missions. They were a nonprofit as well, serving people with disabilities. They were mostly doing camp, and then they had some horseback riding. And then, like I said, about a year and a half ago, we merged and they became part of Easter Seals. And we're continuing the work that they did, but then also bringing some of our own programming onto the campus.
Okay. So is the Bridge Center now sort of in the Easter Seals family? Is it just, it is Easter Seals?
Yep. It's, kind of, okay. It's Easter Seals. We still, the property is the Bridge Center.
Okay.
But it's part of Easter Seals now.
When you talk about horseback riding and some other cool stuff, and I know that I have, for those that have listened to the show before, probably know I have a son with autism who's 25 and doing well, and I think we might have tried horseback riding with him at one point, and it just didn't take, so he did other stuff, but I know the therapeutic value of that for people with disabilities. Are we talking mainly about people with physical challenges or developmental disorders or everything in between? Or
really everything. Just like Easter Seals, we serve all ages, all types of disabilities. So we do have a lot of kids with or adults with autism who get a lot from just interacting with the horses and being able to work with them. But we have a ramp and a Hoyer lift at the facility, so we can actually get someone onto the horse who's not able to climb on using that Hoyer lift. And then we have volunteers who will walk with that person if they don't have the trunk control to stay on the horse alone. So we have the full gamut of people. We're now doing hippotherapy there as well, which is physical therapy or occupational speech therapy with horses. So we even have some...
Not with hippos. I don't think you're wise. Hippos. Don't have kids riding on the hippos.
Right. But we have some really little kids there now.
Yeah. So. Okay. So the idea that the horses can be therapeutic has always been interesting to me. I mean, and it's kind of like, well, why? Like, a lot of these kids have such challenges. Why say, okay, now you're going to learn how to ride a horse? Like, that's hard. The sort of dumb guy in me says, okay, well, some of these kids physically can't walk. Some people can't walk, but maybe they can ride a horse. Now, isn't that wonderful and liberating? Yes. Or is it something more? Is it actually some cosmic connectedness with this animal? I mean, is that silly or what?
No, there's okay. Probably some of that for sure. From a physical perspective, though, believe it or not, riding a horse simulates walking in your joints. So for someone who can't walk, maybe they use a wheelchair, being able to ride a horse and feeling the motion of the horse actually kind of simulates walking for the muscles and joints. So it's actually good physically for someone to ride a horse. And then you're right, for people with autism or mental health disabilities, people with anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress, it's been shown that working with animals and especially horses, that people make a connection and it can really help them deal with what they're going through.
Do you have any pets, Paul?
I have a dog.
Okay. What's your dog's name?
Chewbacca. Big Star Wars nerd, so yeah.
No, I was going to say, of course, named after the famous German physicist, Alexander Chewbacca.
Right.
No, probably the Star Wars guy, yeah. So, and what kind of dog is Chewbacca?
He is an Australian Labradoodle.
Oh, okay. Anything with doodle in it, you got me. My girlfriend has a dog named Kobe who is maybe my best friend in the world. No offense to my actual girlfriend, but he's not a doodle. He's a cockapoo. I don't know. But I grew up with no pets at all, allergic to cats and dogs. As it turns out, there are a lot of dogs that I'm not allergic to, or maybe I'm not allergic to dogs anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm healed. I've been healed. But that there is, I finally get it. Like, there is something there, and people say, well, it's the unconditional love. And it's like, yeah, well, whatever. My kids love me unconditionally too. But at least I think they do. but it is that. I mean, do you look forward to seeing, do you mind if I call him Chewy?
Please.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, what is that like when, this is maybe a silly question, but how do you describe that connection you have with your pet?
No, I think they can sense when you had a bad day, or if you're someone stressed out, one of the kids gets home from school, had a bad day. He's going up, hanging outside, looking at them. You want to pet me?
Yeah.
He definitely comes up and rubs against you when he knows you need it.
Yeah. And I think that's wonderful that people that maybe have trouble communicating, people on the autism spectrum or with other challenges, that maybe they can still connect with a pet the way that typical people do. My son has no interest in dogs whatsoever. I try. It's like, pet him. Adrian, pet him. It's like, whatever. Moving on. All right, so back to the Bridge Center. So exciting news is that you're running a camp this coming April and this summer for the first time. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so we just got our camp licensure, which is so exciting. We went through the whole process and all that. So we are officially bringing camp back to the Bridge Center. We're doing a full 6-week program this summer, but then we're also doing an April vacation camp when kids are off this April as well.
Okay. And what will that experience be like?
Yeah, it's going to be a mixture of all different rec activities. We have a cool splash pad on the campus, so kids can get wet, have some fun in the hot days. But then we also have indoor activities. We have a fully accessible kitchen there, which is really cool. So kids can learn cooking. We have a art room and a music room. But then again, it's a 22-acre campus. So they're going to be able to go through the nature trails, spend time outside, make a lot of friends. I know you're a big camp guy.
Love summer camp. Yep.
Yeah.
Always.
And just, I think having that opportunity to come to camp, spend all day, make new friends, those can be lifelong friendships.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, did you go to summer camp growing up?
I did not.
Okay. Yeah. And is the idea of do your kids go to summer camp or no?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Sleepaway camp? Or?
No, just day camp.
All right. Yeah. Well, you don't have to apologize for it. Everybody's different. Some people don't get the idea of sending a kid away for that long. And some people think that those of us who sent our kids away for 8 weeks during the summer are trying to get rid of them. That's really not the case. It's just, and whether it's day camp or it's overnight camp, there is that just constantly interacting with people. You play sports, you do crafts, you eat together, you make jokes together, you have good days, you have bad days, but it's really a lot more different experience than just going to school. Because for school, you go, there's a purpose, you're going to school to learn stuff, primarily, right? And everything else that happens can be great. But for camp, it's kind of, the idea is to make friends while you're doing stuff. So is this open to anyone? Or anyone who wants to?
Yeah. I mean, obviously our mission is serving people with disabilities. So that's our primary audience.
But I just mean, you don't need any relationship with the Easter Seals.
No.
Absolutely not. Step right up.
But I did want to say, we're encouraging people, if they have siblings or close friends or something, they can come to camp as well. We do want the camp to be inclusive. We don't want it to be, oh, we're putting people with disabilities alone on this camp. We want it to be an inclusive environment where everyone's welcome. But of course, our primary mission is serving people with disabilities.
And so the typical day there will be, how do you get around the challenge of some people are going to, and kids are going to be able to do some of the physical stuff, and then certainly some won't. And I guess you're probably going to tell me, well, that's what we've been doing for years.
That's what we do. That's what we do. Yeah, we'll be adapting things. We also have a lot of therapists on our staff. That's one of the programs Easter Seals has, is we have occupational physical speech therapists. So, and summer tends to be a slower time of year. So our plan is we'll probably be integrating some of that into the programming where, hey, we have an occupational therapist who's going to come and work and adapt this group so everybody can participate. But that's what we do. We try to make it so it's inclusive for everyone.
Sure. And reminds me of a story, which I'll tell briefly. There was a guy I knew. I guess I can give him a shout out. Yeah, what the hell. His name's Peter Collinari, and he was a guy that was my camp counselor at Sharon Country Day Camp, which doesn't exist anymore. I think the camp was technically in Walpole, even though it was Sharon Country Day Camp, but whatever. Anyway, and he was like the most spirited counselor, and he's like, what's up? And, everyone's like, oh, I got Peter, I got Uncle Peter this year, and it's so great. So flash forward years later, I have children, and Peter is running this camp, Oak Hill, which I don't know if it's still there. Sorry, Peter. I'm sorry if I have a feeling it's not there anymore. Anyway, the point of the story is our younger son loved it, who's a typical kid, and he went and he said, Dad, you won't believe it. Camp is great. You don't have to like go to class or anything. You just play all day. And I'm like, yeah, that's what camp is. So the following summer, we wanted Adrian, our oldest son, the one with autism, to go, and we asked Peter if he could go, and he kind of, I could tell he was unprepared for the question. He's like, oh, we've never had a kid with a disability before. I don't know if we're equipped for it. Geez, I don't know. I'm going to have to look into it. And we said, okay. And we were disappointed. And then we said to ourselves, well, wait a minute. There's this thing called the Americans with Disabilities Act. I'm pretty sure he has to make free, because we were willing to provide an aid with Adrian to accompany him. And he ended up going and having a great time. And there is something great about, I don't know about you, every moment I spend indoors during the summer, there's at least a real small part of me that feels like I'm doing the wrong thing. Right. You know what I mean?
No, I do. Yeah.
And so you can only do so much indoors. And so you said, so there's no lake, there's no pool.
So we have a pond. It's not for swimming. We are going to be having a fishing derby this spring. So,
oh, very cool.
We're partnering with the local Lions Club, and we're going to have people just learning how to fish, kids, and again, kids with and without disabilities. Mm-hmm. We'll have some people helping out. So even if you've never done it before, they can actually learn to fish, and we're going to get the pond stocked and things like that. We do have a pool.
Wait, they do that? They do that? So you truck in the, because there aren't enough fish in there.
Right.
So you, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Seems a little circular to bring in the fish that you think. No, I understand that's the way it's done. They had fishing at, I went to a day camp, Camp Maplewood, which is still around and I think is still operating. And I swear to God, the first time I ever fished, and you just stood on the shore and stuck your rod, which was nothing fancy. And I caught a fish that at the time felt like the biggest, I thought it was bigger than me. It was probably about, now I'm doing the thing with my hands, like, I don't know, about a foot long or something, 12 inches maybe. And they gave me like a prize at lunch that day. And all the times I went fishing, it took me another like 20 years before I caught a fish again, I think, because it's hard.
It is.
But there is nothing like the feeling, like, and I'm just already picturing the looks on these kids' faces when they catch a fish. Are you a fishing guy?
I've fished before.
Yeah,
for sure. It's always fun.
Yeah. It's one of the things that you can do and have a great time without actually doing the thing that you came there to do.
Right. But we're not going to give the kids beer. So.
Okay. I'm sure you'll have punchers or whatever they do. You'll have some juice boxes. So where do people go before we forget? Is it easterseals.org or, I'm sorry, you tell me.
Easterseals.ma.org, and that'll bring you right to the Massachusetts page. And then if you click on the programs button, you'll see the Bridge Center right there. You click on the Bridge Center, it'll show you all the programs we're doing, camp, everything like that, and you can get more information on any of the programs that you'd like. And obviously check out all the other programs we're doing as well across the state.
And I know that you wanted to talk about the College Navigator program, which is started in recent years and now is kind of booming. So tell our listeners what that's all about.
For sure. Yeah. I love talking about College Navigator. It's one of the programs that started. As I've been CEO. Yeah. So yeah. I have special affection for it.
Okay. We'll give you the credit for it, Paul.
No, fine. It wasn't me, okay. But I just still love it. Yeah. But basically we saw this gap. We saw these amazing kids graduating high school, doing really well, going into college and dropping out. And it wasn't because they weren't smart kids. It's because they had gotten all the support through high school. And then they hit this cliff when they went to college, right, and they just needed a little help. And nationally, the statistics say that 60% of kids with disabilities drop out of college. Mm. And only 14% of people with disabilities without a college degree are employed. So we're talking, you drop out of college, then you can't get a job. It's hard to live independently from that point on.
Right.
So we developed this program where we have a navigator, is what we call him. And it's just someone who comes with you. And it can be as little as 1 hour a week, all the way up to 5-6 hours a week. But basically, they work with you on your scheduling. They work with you on accessing the resources. A lot of colleges have really great resources. They just don't know how to find them. So our navigator can help you. All right, this is the Disability Service Office. Here's what you need to ask for. Work with them. Or talking to your teachers. There are accommodations. like you said, Americans with Disability Act, you can ask for accommodations, but some of these kids never had to do that before. They had their IEP team saying what's best for you.
Right.
Now you're an adult, so we're going to help you to advocate for yourself and go and ask for what you need. And as a result, the kids who have gone through the College Navigator program, we have a 90% retention rate instead of that 40% retention rate nationally. So it's a huge impact for not a lot of hours. And we started with one student, and now we're over 250 students in Massachusetts.
Right. Is it true, my conception, that last I checked, there are very few colleges that have any sort of special programming or support for people with disabilities?
I mean, colleges vary. A lot of them have a disability service office, and some are amazing, and some not so much.
Yeah.
We won't
be
naming names, but But again, sometimes there's that gap between the service exists and the student knowing about it.
Sure.
Even we see that with Easter Seals. We have a lot of great programs that I'm sure a lot of people would love. They just don't know they exist. Mm-hmm. And how do we get that message out that this program exists can be a challenge. So we're trying to be the go-between to make sure people access those services.
And there's a tension, right? Because if the state is required to provide education support resources for people with disabilities until they're 22 years old, but if the child graduates high school, then I think the state is kind of off the hook for the next level. Is that basically what it is? It's been a while since my son's 25, so it's been
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, in some ways, you're right. Like with the schools, the way they're set up, their goal is to get the kid to graduate.
Right.
Not necessarily set them up. Not every kid, the primary goal should be to get a high school degree. Some should get a college degree. Some should be worried about where they're going to work when they get out of high school. But yeah, it's very kind of one track. But one of the things is there are programs available to pay for people with disabilities to go to college. Hmm. But then they drop out. So it's kind of wasted money.
Right.
So we're now advocating to get more funding for the College Navigator program. So we have a program with the Department of Developmental Services where they do fund some kids with autism to get College Navigator. We're now advocating with the legislators to get funding for Mass Rehab Commission clients to also get this funding because they're paying for these kids to go to college, but not giving them all the resources to succeed.
Right.
So it's our argument that by investing a little money, you're actually saving money because you're not having these kids drop out of school.
Right. And these navigators, are they full-time navigators?
They're for the most part.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we have a couple part-time, but for the most part, they are full-time. Some of the schools we work with have a full-time caseload, so the person just stays at that college all the time. But others kind of bop around between different colleges if they're close by. We also have some grant-funded work that we've been doing, especially with the community colleges, because there's just a huge need at the community colleges for support.
Mm. It's EasterSealsMA.org is where you go if you want. I take it that's a good place to go for the College Navigator services as well.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. Okay. You can see all our program. You can also see our advocacy page there. If someone feels like this, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Please go onto the advocacy page. We make it easy for you. You can contact your state senator, your state representative, and say, hey, support these programs. They matter.
Tell us before we move on. And before we go, we're going to do a quick round of good stuff where we'll talk about something good that will brighten your day, unrelated to all the other stuff we've talked about so far. Before we do that, Paul, is just anything else going on at Easter Seals that people should know about?
Yeah. I mean,
if I lob that up to you, I know you're going to accept.
So right.
Tell me.
Yeah. So obviously the Bridge Center is our newest thing. It's kind of the shinier new object,
yes.
But some of our staple programs like assistive technology have continued to expand across the state. And that's another one of those programs where I say it's so valuable to keeping people living independently. A lot of it is funded by state programming. People just don't know about it. They don't know that it's available to them. That's why I really encourage go to the website, check out the program, see what we're doing, because there may be something we've been doing for years that you just realized that would be great. Our mentorship and youth leadership network, you talk about your son.
Sure.
Those are great programs. They're not like camp per se, but they are opportunities to meet other people, get some mentorship, provide some mentorship, and just get involved with the community, learn how to be a leader, advocate for yourself. And those groups are a lot of fun, and they do cool things. They went to the State House last week, so they got to do a tour and learn about government.
Everybody loves a field trip.
Yeah.
The camp, I didn't ask this, is it like a typical camp that I know that Easter Seals exists on donations and events that you do, and you count on that. So, by the way, go to EasterSealsMA.org to support a wonderful organization. But is the camp typical in that you charge a typical fee? Is it competitive with other camps?
I feel it is. we've been doing our research. So we are starting up the camp, and we're trying to figure out what's the right way. Our goal is certainly in the future to do fundraising around scholarships and things like that. There are a lot of smaller grants people can apply for as well. We're also trying to work with some of the local school systems to be an alternative location for people who need extended year services, because we can provide the therapy right on camp if that's something they needed. But yes, we do charge for camp. We're also providing the opportunity for half day or full day. So if you have a kid who goes to extended school year in the morning, but you don't know what they're going to do in the afternoon, you could come just for the afternoon hours. And then we have an extended day option if people wanted to pick that up as well.
Are you looking for counselors?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. And a nurse. We need a nurse.
Come on. There's no nurse of a summer camp is just a great job, because
great gig.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, you're kind of in, you're not actually outside, but you're almost outside. It's probably like a screen door there. But also the reasons that people come to you are always interesting.
For sure. Yeah. It's going to be a fun job you're going to have. Maybe a scraped knee every now and then. You know, someone
fish hook every now and then.
Yeah, no fish hooks.
Okay, no fish hooks.
Maybe pass a little medication. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we are looking to hire a nurse. So you can find that on our website as well. Sure. And please follow us on social media too, because I think we do a good job of telling people what's coming up all the time.
What handle is that?
Easter Seals Massachusetts.
Everything is.
And that's, we have Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. I don't think we're really on X anymore. We weren't getting much traction there.
The dying platform anyways. Thanks a lot, Elon. All right, we are going to play a quick round of good stuff. Before we do that, I'll just quickly remind you what we do here at the Boston Podcast Network. It's pod617.com. Paul is right here with me physically in the studio, because he's an in-person kind of guy, which is cool. And we have radio quality equipment here, but we produce podcasts all around the globe. And it's a great way to reach out to your network. It's a great way to promote your business, your professional service. And also, by the way, it's a lot of fun. Go to pod617.com to get started. We'll produce your whole show from start to finish. All right, let's play a round of good stuff.
Oh, that's the good stuff.
So Paul's always a good guy to compare notes with when it comes to media and stuff. We were trying to remember the last time we were on the show, what show we were talking about. It might have been Game of Thrones. I guess it's we've kind of missed the moment to talk more about Game of Thrones. I didn't get on the sequel thing, whatever that's either. Called, the dragon thing.
House of the Dragon.
Yeah. So we are going to talk briefly about the documentary that you can find on Apple TV, and it's about the Patriots, and it's called The Dynasty, and Paul hasn't seen it yet. I've seen most of it. Well, I mean, it's in progress. There's only 4 episodes so far, so you can get on the train now if you want. I'm going to play a little bit of the trailer, and then we'll talk a little Patriots.
Be scrutinized, celebrated.
Let me start that again, because I missed something important.
This team will be scrutinized, celebrated for as long as the game is played.
In pro football, nobody's entitled to anything. You have to go out there and earn it.
I was pretty intent on proving myself.
We were going to determine the future of football in New England.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions!
First dynasty of the century.
This game is like a narcotic. You're chasing that forever.
Breaking news right now.
Spygate. Deflategate.
Aaron couldn't separate himself from that dark side.
That team won enough to become the villain.
We worked for Bill, but we played for Tom.
Bill tore Brady's head completely off.
There's things that are done that can't be undone.
I was just trying to hold it together the best I could.
This team will be Jonathan, I was just trying to hold it together the best I could. Every time I hear Mr. Kraft talk, he reminds me of my dad, probably because he's almost the same age as my dad. They both went to Brookline High. They knew each other a little bit. And he's an old Jewish guy like my dad. Anyway.
So when are you bringing him to the Bridge Center?
Who, Kraft? I don't know him. I don't know him that well.
Come on.
He should. Mr. Kraft, if you're listening, please come to the Bridge Center. Please support Easter Seals.
Not far from Foxborough.
That's right. And I live in Foxborough now, so no excuse for me either. So if you were to... So I'll give you a quick review, listeners, of what I've seen so far in the day. If you've seen it, then I think you would agree maybe not too many surprises so far. I mean, we are fanatical about the Patriots here, obviously. I was excited for this to come out because, let's face it, the team's pretty much sucked. It's at this. Guess how many players are left from the last team that won the Super Bowl?
Slater just retired, right?
So therefore...
Zero?
Zero is correct, yes. And that's sad, right? It doesn't seem like that long ago that we won the Super Bowl. Now, completely new coaching staff, completely sad. But so it's kind of cool to go back and look back on this. And so far, around in my circles, this documentary hasn't met with rave reviews. And I think a lot of people are saying it's produced by the Krafts, and the Krafts are looking to throw Belichick under the bus for all the bad stuff that happened. And I don't know if that's completely fair. Now, I will say there is an entire episode on Spygate, and I considered not watching it at all because Paul and I were talking before we started recording about how Spygate and Deflategate were both massive wastes of time. But if you were to tell the story of the quote-unquote the dynasty, and the dynasty, there's now a debate on what dynasty you're talking about, even though there was like this 10-year swath in the middle where we didn't win any Super Bowls, I still count that as part of it because the Patriots were competitive every year. They went to the Super Bowl twice. So in the entire, it's the Brady Belichick era, 6 Super Bowls. Thank you very much. If you were to tell the story, like what's the main theme? What's the thrust? What's most notable about it?
For me, it was the consistency, especially now where you talk about how bad the team is, and I'm mad that they won, so they didn't get the second pick in the draft. I'm rooting against them when they beat the Bills, and right. What are you thinking?
I know.
But, for me, it was just that consistent, sustained greatness that we probably took a little for granted, that just every year it was a matter of, all right, well, they're gonna make the playoffs, probably win the AFC East. Can they win the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah.
And then now you realize, oh, just... making the playoffs is hard.
I know. Yeah. It's like if you went out every once in a while, you'd have a friend, you'd go out and buy the like AFC East champion t-shirt. And it's like, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? Like that's automatic. Like we don't need that. Like send that t-shirt to the kids who need it in third world countries. But yeah, it's, and then the whole, but as far as the personnel, are you either a Brady or a Belichick guy? Are you a Kraft guy? Does it matter who we give like the ultimate credit to?
No, I believe they wouldn't have been anything without each other. I think Brady, if he got drafted by the Bears, he probably would have been out of the league in a year.
I'm not saying he's great,
but I'm just saying if someone didn't see him, if someone didn't put him in those right positions, there's probably a lot of good quarterbacks that never get their chance because the Browns drafted him or something like that.
Yeah, that's... I think that's one thing we don't talk about enough in sport, particularly team sports. This doesn't apply for like tennis or golf necessarily, unless I guess somebody could fall in with a really horrible coach and maybe if they had a better coach. But really, if you're good, you're going to be good. Like Tiger Woods was going to be good no matter what. But you're right. Who was the elder Manning? Archie Manning could have been the greatest quarterback of all time, but he always played for terrible teams, you know? So when you talk about the number of touchdowns you throw, and Brady at one point broke the record in a season with 50 touchdown passes. Well, there's somebody else catching it. Like somebody else has to catch it. So I think that's right. And I think it's not a perfect comparison, but I think it was Mike Lupica who said that it's like Lennon and McCartney. You don't look at the Beatles and say, well, yeah, it was really all John Lennon. He carried McCartney, or the other way around.
Yeah. And Brady wasn't. If you're a number one draft pick, you're going to get your chance.
Right.
Brady was not that. Right.
Exactly,
so we all know the story. I mean, guys like him get drafted and cut in training camp all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think Belichick deserves credit for seeing he had the potential, putting him in a really good place with a good defense at first so he could learn. And obviously Brady deserves all the credit for turning that opportunity into becoming the best quarterback of all time. But I don't think you can say one would have been what they were without the other.
Yeah. But you know what? You've put your finger on what is maybe the most interesting part of the whole story, and that is it might never have happened. And they do cover that fairly well in pointing out that Bledsoe, well, according to the documentary, I don't necessarily remember this way. According to the doc, Bledsoe became completely healthy a few weeks after he was almost murdered by Mo Lewis, and it was a serious injury. But he did heal. He came back and wanted to play and held back, but definitely expressed his disappointment that he was not playing. And Belichick, he picked the right guy. So how can we not give him credit for that? It's insane. But do you remember where you were on the snow game?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do.
What do you remember about it? Because that's kind of the fulcrum for me, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was with my dad, and you still had that feeling, kind of like the Red Sox, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to find a way to lose. They're going to lose this, and
I know.
It's just, you didn't believe it, and then it happened.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah. And then obviously the tuck, which you thought, oh, he fumbled. He definitely fumbled. And then they overturned it, and you thought, how is this possible?
Yeah. I was there, everyone, and I was with my dad. I was with both my parents at the game, and everyone in the stadium thought that was a fumble. I mean,
yeah.
And the weird thing is, if you, in going back and being like a football fanatic, I remembered like probably the next day that I was watching a game with Kurt Warner. I think I had him on my fantasy team. And I remember that what looked like a fumble, which would have been -1 points for me on my fantasy team, got reversed. And I remember saying to myself, how is that not a fumble? And then completely forgot about it until after this. So they called it correctly, but I don't know if this is a lesson in life or not, but it's kind of it was a true sliding doors moment, because if that call doesn't get overturned, or if Vinatieri misses the field goal, which being in the stadium and watching it, it was the most perilous moment of my life. I mean, it looked like the kick never got more than barely 10 and a half feet off the ground. It obviously was more than 10 feet because it cleared the crossbar. But if that doesn't happen, then all of a sudden, the next year, the debate, first of all, the debate might be a little bit more intense for Bledsoe versus Brady, because Brady hasn't won a Super Bowl, although he certainly had a great year. But the question also becomes, is Belichick necessarily the right guy? Because what he had on his resume to date was not spectacular, and he would have been 0-1 in the playoffs with the Patriots. And the next season, even after they won the Super Bowl, the next season the Patriots missed the playoffs. So let's say that happened. And now you've got three seasons that are all kind of blah with one playoff. He might have gotten fired. And,
right.
And so it's insane. It goes to show that life isn't fair. Sports isn't fair. Like poor Scott Norwood should have a statue of him in Buffalo, and instead he's known as the guy who missed the kick. Anyway, so you're going to watch it? Are you going to watch it?
I don't know.
You're not going to watch it?
I'm terrible.
Do you not have Apple TV?
I'm not a big documentary guy.
What? All right. I'm going to lock the doors here and make you watch documentaries. They're interesting. The real life is more interesting than fiction, but
I always say I live a lot of real life, so I like
okay.
fake stuff with my leisure time.
That's fine. Okay, go watch the movie 80 for Brady, which is which is completely fake.
My good friend loved that movie, so she would agree with you. She was there on opening night.
You didn't see it, did you?
I have not.
No, yeah. It is exactly what you think it would be. Let's just say that you're not going to miss anything when the highlight of the movie is Lily Tomlin somehow sneaking her way into the coach's room in the Patriots during the Super Bowl and getting on the headset and talking to Tom Brady and encouraging him not to give up. And that's why the Patriots won the Super Bowl.
It's based on a true story.
Well, it is. The funny thing is, it is actually based on a true story.
Yeah,
but that clearly didn't happen. Anyway, well, you've been a fantastic guest as usual, Paul. I hope you had fun.
I did. Thanks for having me. And I got to say, coming into the office is worth it because I got to see the new carpet.
All right. Now he's just kissing up to the host, but we'll give him a point for that. And don't forget to go to EasterSealsMA.org to learn about the Bridge Center, the new camp, the College Navigator program, and all the other stuff going on. And follow Easter Seals. Is it Easter Seals MA on social media or Easter Seals Massachusetts?
Massachusetts.
Easter Seals Massachusetts on. All right. You're welcome, Paul. No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you. And I got to, you have my word. I'm going to get out to see the camp in some fashion. Do they have a head of archery yet?
We don't. And we do have an archery area. So we're looking if you want to volunteer. We always need volunteers.
I was bluffing. I'm terrible at archery. But I will find some other way to support it, I promise. Thanks so much, Paul. Thanks to all of you for listening. Again, follow the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your pods. Go to pod617.com if you want your own show. On behalf of Paul and everyone at Easter Seals, my name's Dave. I'm just a guy from Boston. But if you're not from Boston, you must be the other guy. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.